You doing today? Happy Father's Day. It's a great day to be in church. And, you know, I think that being in church is one of the greatest things we can do, especially when we do it regularly. It's like exercise. Exercise is good when you do it regularly. It has a compounding effect. Being in church regularly has a compounding effect. It helps you grow in the things God's doing. And if I were to ask you, how many of you know someone who you wish was in church regularly? I bet we could all say, I know somebody. I know somebody that I wish was in church regularly. And one of the things we work really hard to do at Community Church is we want to make sure every service is a good Sunday to invite people. So what Sunday is a good Sunday to invite somebody? Every Sunday is a great Sunday to invite somebody. And so we're always looking for ways to equip you to make that really easy for you to do. And in fact, we actually just created these brand new little cards. You're going to be able to pick these up as you exit today and in the lobby at Connect Central. On one side, all it says is you're invited. On the other side, it has all of the church information. So here's what I want you to do with these cards. Anytime you're around somebody, and maybe they're having a hard day, and you say, hey, is there anything I can pray with you about? And they say, sure, pray with me about this. You say, you know, one of the greatest decisions I ever made was to start attending a church. It changed my life. And I've got a great church I'd like to recommend. You're invited. I'd love to see you there one Sunday. It starts at 11 a.m. You're at a restaurant and you leave a nice tip, 30%. I mean, like you're generous, 40%. You give a generous tip. And what do? You leave one of these cards for your waiter or your waitress. You're in line at Starbucks. You say, I want to pay for the person behind me. Will you give them this? And you leave them an invited card. The last church I was at, I kid you not, we had someone who sat in church every single week. And I remember their first Sunday there, they said, you know why I'm here? I said, I have no idea, but I'm glad you're here. They said, I'm here because someone paid for my meal at Panera before I got up there. And they made that decision a lasting decision for them. So you never know what kind of a difference it's going to make when you do an invite. An invite can change someone's life. So make sure you're very intentional with that. Make sure you're inviting people who are far from God but near to you. So you've joined us today in the middle of a sermon series. The series is called Ask It. And, you know, if you fall asleep during today's sermon, or if there's something you missed, or you want to go back and listen to it, you can listen online at our website. If there's someone you think, I wish they had been here to hear this. Now, you got to be careful with today's message. I'll unpack that in just a second. But if there's someone who said, I think they would benefit from this message, send them a link from our website online. You can do ccog.us, go to messages, and we have an archive of all of our messages up there, so you can go back and listen to them. But each series is kind of unique. So some series are highly inspirational, highly motivational. Some are very deep. Some are very wide. We cover a broad range of things. Some are healing from your past. Some of them are dealing with present circumstances. Others are about your future. This series is very much a teaching series. And it's about the idea of what you do now matters for the long term. And in fact, what you did then has affected now, hasn't it? So this series, Ask It, is about the question that answers just about everything. And it's one question that we're teasing out every single week, week in and week out. I hope it's a question that will become a centerpiece for your life. I hope it's something that you use from now on for the rest of your life. Every time you have an opportunity, every time you have an invitation, every time you have a decision, because when you ask this question, it changes things. In fact, if you were to go back in time to your greatest regret and you asked this question, you wouldn't have made your greatest regret. So here's the question. We teased it out last week. What's the wise thing to do? Let's say it together. What's the wise thing to do? And it's way better than what you did in your past. It's way better than what you did last summer. It's better than what's the legal thing to do, way better than what the moral thing to do, way better than what they're doing or what someone else did or what they said I should do, way better than that. It's what's the wise thing to do. So we looked at it in three dimensions last week. In light of my past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what is the wise thing for me to do? Your past, not their past, your past. Well, in light of your past, what happened when you went there? What happened when you did that last time? In light of your past, what's the wise thing to do? In light of your current circumstances, you just got out of a bad marriage. You just spent a lot of money on this. You're trying to get out of debt, right? In light of your present circumstances, what's the wise thing to do? In light of your future hopes and dreams, who do you want to be? Where are you headed? In light of that, will your future self thank you for this decision? Or your future self regret the decision that you just made? In light of your past experience, current circumstances, future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing to do? So I give you homework. Usually don't give you homework in church. Your homework was simply to ask the question. Because right now, it's like you could do the moral thing. You could do the wise thing. You could do the better thing. But even if you don't start doing the wise thing yet, it's important that you start asking the question. Because when you ask this question, if you don't do the wise thing, it teaches you something about yourself. If you know the wise thing and you don't do it, what it shows you is you don't have your best interest in heart. And if you don't have your best interest in mind, then who does? You see, you owe it to yourself to know the answer to the question, what's the wise thing to do? At every opportunity, every invitation, and every decision, what's the wise thing to do? So that was last week. This week we're doing musical chairs. This week's musical chairs. So today I'm going to talk to you about the options that you have when you're given wisdom. And I say they're options because you don't have to do a thing I say. You don't have to do a thing Scripture says. You get to choose. It's an option if you choose wisdom or if you choose something else. And so we're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs today. The book of Proverbs was actually written by a man named Solomon. He was David's son. David was one of the greatest kings in Israel. David's actually, through David's line, we actually get Jesus. And Solomon was his son that took over the throne and became the next king of Israel. Now, Solomon, wisest man in all the earth. In fact, he has this like moment where God's like, ask me for anything and I'll give it to you. It's kind of a genie moment. Like you rub the lamp, the genie shows up. What do you want? And what Solomon asks for is wisdom. Give me wisdom. So God says, not only am I going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you all the riches in the world. Like you're going to be the wealthiest and the wisest person in all the earth. So Solomon decides he's going to pass along some of that wisdom. So he writes the book of Proverbs. He also writes this book called Ecclesiastes. Now, Ecclesiastes is the kind of book that you don't really understand until you're over 40 years old. Like, you read it and you're like, everything's in vain. Everything's a vapor. It's a mist. It doesn't matter. There's a time and season for everything. Really? Everything? Yes. Everything. There's a time and season for it. You really don't get that until you're over 40 and you've had some bumps and bruises in your life. Now you read it and you're like, this is my jam. I'm going to put this one on repeat. Now, I will say this. Ecclesiastes is unique. There's only two books in the Bible that I recommend this to, and it's this. You should read Ecclesiastes at least once in your life, all the way through in one sitting. The only other book you should do that with is Revelation. Great books that mean a whole lot more if you read them in just one sitting. You get this arc that you kind of see the whole picture and the whole story. And actually, when you read Ecclesiastes, I'm going to give you the secret code. I'm going to give you the little cipher so you can understand a little bit better about Ecclesiastes. There's two phrases you need to understand when you read that book. The first is actually a sentence, and it's that God has put eternity in our hearts. And so you crave the immortality, you crave the eternal, you crave the supernatural, you crave the divine, you crave what God's doing in your life. So you want what God wants in your life. We crave that at a basic level. That's why we say things like, there's got to be more to life than this. You crave the eternal. Then the other key to Ecclesiastes is this, under the sun. You're going to read that 1,000 times in Ecclesiastes, under the sun. And it's like this, under the sun, under the sun, under the sun. And it's this picture of how things are on this earth if God did not intervene. If God did not intervene, then this is how things would play out. That's Ecclesiastes. But if you understand, there's more to the story because we have eternity in our hearts. God's actually in charge of things at a bigger level, and it doesn't have to happen just like it does under the sun. So that's your two keys. That's your cheat sheet for Ecclesiastes. The third book that Solomon writes is called The Song of Solomon. And when you read this, you realize, I understand why it's not in children's books. It's a great book about sex. It's an erotic novel. And so you might wonder, why is that? Why is that in Scripture? Why does the Bible talk about it? And Solomon's like, because you need to know. You need to know what this is all about. You may not want to talk about it, but we need to cover this, so make sure you read it. It's a great book. So what Solomon says is there are four types of people that you need to know when it comes to hearing wisdom. That when you have wisdom given to you, you have four options. And if you don't opt for wisdom, there are three other options that you need to know, three other types. So wisdom, they get wisdom given to them if you're wise. You say, I'm going to look at my past, where I've been. I'm going to look at my current circumstances. I'm going to look where I'm at. I'm going to look around. I'm going to be aware. That's what the wise do. They're going to take it in. They're going to do something with it. But there are actually three other types of people. I'm going to give you a warning. Today's message will be offensive. It's going to hurt a little bit. So buckle up. But if you came to church and you're like, you haven't been coming to church because you think churches, they're going to offend me. They're going to say something I don't like. Well, here you are. I'm going to offend you. I'm going to confirm all your suspicions about this. And you're going to get offended. You're going to get mad at me. You're going to be driving in the car. And the first 5 minutes, you're going to be having a conversation in your head about what I say today. And you're going to think of all the things you wish you could tell me based on today's sermon. So some of what I'm going to cover is offensive. And Solomon says that you don't opt for wisdom. You actually choose something else. Perhaps you've never considered what you're opting for when you say things like, I know, but I'm going to do it anyways. Or I know, but I don't really believe them. It can't really be like that, can it? I know, but you're an idiot. You know, you just may not have thought what you settled for. It's a little offensive, I get it. So here's the deal. No elbowing your partner sitting beside you. Don't elbow them. Look straight ahead, okay? No rolling your eyes. No passing this message along to the one. Don't talk about it in the car ride home about who you think they are and what you think they chose. Like, it's just you and me, baby. It's me and them, baby. Like, leave it right there. Let me just have a conversation with each person individually because I want to help you. And I want you to consider today, if you don't choose wisdom, what you opt for accidentally. You didn't mean to. You ended up in this spot, and you opted for something. So option one, this is offensive. I promise you it's offensive, is the simple, that you might be simple. Now, this means that you're naive. This means you're clueless. Taylor Swift wrote this wonderful lyric about the simple. She says, when you're 15 and someone tells you they love you, what do? You believe them. You believe them. Not because you're dumb. Because you're 15. You just don't know any better. It's not a criticism, but it is a warning. It's simply because you lack experience. You haven't had a past to rely on at this point. You're new to this whole thing. And there's a great passage on this. It's found in Proverbs chapter 7. And I'll kind of give you the buildup, and then we'll go there. So here's the buildup. So you've got this guy who's walking through the city streets, and you've got these other people, these onlookers who are watching what's happening. They're like from a rooftop perspective. And they see this young guy, this simple guy, this inexperienced guy is walking down the street, and there's this beautiful woman. And she comes up to him and she says, come and lay with me. Come into my house. I've prepared my bed. I've sprayed it with perfume. I've laid out rose petals. It's perfect for us. My husband is away. He'll be gone for a long time. Come into my house and sleep with me. And what does he do? He ends up walking into the house, and those onlookers are freaking out. They saw the danger coming from a distance. And here's what they say. All at once, he followed her like an ox to the slaughter. Like a deer stepping into a noose till an arrow pierces their heart. Like a bird darting into a snare. Little did he know it will cost him his life. Her house is a highway to the grave. AC/DC wrote a song. You know the song. Great scripture. Because he thinks he's in for a good time. But it's actually a disaster that he's walking into, right? And it's kind of like whatever he thinks is good, it's actually this snare. If you're watching the movie and you're seeing all this play out and he's about to go into her house, you're like, no, don't do it. Don't go there. Don't head that direction. It's a terrible idea. You're watching the horror film. Don't open the door. He's on the other side of the door. That's what's happening in this moment. They're freaking out. It's an ox to the slaughter. It's a bird in the snare. What he thinks is good is actually a trap. Older people read things like that and they think you're so naive. But here's what you need to know. It's not about being bad. It's not about being malicious. You're just young. You don't know. The simple, they respond to wisdom in a couple of ways. They say things like, nothing's going to happen. Really? Can you guarantee me that nothing bad is going to happen? I'm warning you, but you think nothing's going to happen. Can you really guarantee that? Or they'll say, I can handle it. Really? I couldn't handle it. Why do you think you can handle it? There's a world full of people who couldn't handle it, but you think you can handle it. You're overreacting, the simple will say. You're overreacting. You're making too big a deal out of this. Do you know why we're overreacting? Because we can anticipate the future. Because we have a past. Because we've been there. Because we know that when you're 15 and someone says they love you, we know you're going to believe them. You're going to blindly believe them. And if you're 23 or under, you just lack experience. That's all it is. It's not bad. It's not your fault. You're just 23. We all wish we were 23, don't we? We would like to go back and be 23. In fact, sometimes when you get it wrong, we're mad. And we're mad sometimes because you did a stupid thing and we're like, you shouldn't have done that. We're mad about that. But sometimes we get mad just because we're a little jealous. Because you can kind of do things that we can't. We wish you we were your age. You're cooler than we are. You can dress the way that you do, and it works for you. We try and dress like you do, and our spouse is like, you shouldn't ever wear that again. And the reality is you haven't faced the consequences of your life yet. You haven't gotten to a place where you had such crippling debt, and you made so many bad financial decisions that you wake up in the middle of the night and your chest is heavy and you can't breathe and you wake up sweating. You haven't done that. You haven't experimented with your sexuality in such a way where it broke you to no end, and you don't know if you're ever going to have intimacy with a real person again. You don't know what it's like to have your heart crushed. And I don't mean like a bad breakup. I mean like you've been with the person 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and it's just absolutely crushed you so much that you don't know if you'll ever trust again. You don't know. You haven't been there. And that's okay. It's okay that you haven't been there. It doesn't mean that you're bad. You see, when people who are older, they love you, and they're saying, I'm not trying to be critical, but you lack experience. I need you to trust me. It's difficult when you're simple because it's not your fault. You're 15, and when you're 15 and someone says they love you, you're going to believe them. If you're under 23 or 23 or under, and you're in this spot, here's the cool thing. You can have something that I cannot have. You can have it both ways. You can have wisdom and your youth at the same time, but you have to ask for it. You have to ask for it. You can have the benefits of youth and wisdom, and you can dress like you do. You can sip on boba the way that you do. You can do all the cool things that all you people do, but you can have wisdom at the same time. You don't have to trade your youth for wisdom. You can get both. You don't have to let the fact that you're simple, it doesn't have to wreck your life. It doesn't have to ruin you, but you have to seek it. You have to ask for it because you haven't lived it. You don't have the experience yet. So you have to ask the people who have gone ahead of you for wisdom. And the last thing I want to say, this is the last thing I want to say to the simple people. I know it's crazy, offensive, not my word, Solomon's word. But don't trade what you want most for what you want in the moment. Do you feel that? The older people are shaking their heads. Why? Because they know. They know because they've been there. They've traded what they wanted most for what they wanted in the moment. We've been there. And they think, I would love to go back and do it again. I would love to go back to your age and make better decisions. That's what they think. They would say, I would love to go back and be so focused on my hopes and dreams and my calling and my destiny. I would love to go back and be so focused on those things that my future shaped my present, that where I wanted to head would help me make the wise decisions today, because I wanted to end up in a better place than what I can imagine, a better place than what I've ever dreamed of. I want to end up in a great place. So you've got to start. If you're in that space where it's like you're the simple, you're the naive, you're the clueless, it's okay, but start asking it in light of my future hopes and dreams. Who do I want to be? If you start living that way, you're going to get the things that you really want in life, the things that really matter most. Okay, the second option. It's really offensive. Get ready. Buckle up. Is the fool. That's your second option of how you can respond to wisdom. I told you, it's offensive. The fool. This is the person who knows the right thing. They just don't care. They know the right thing. And so you say, you know it's going to hurt you? Yes. But you're going to do it anyways? Yes. That's a problem, right? You're probably saying, I know. You can read it on the package. Like the package says, this is a bad idea, but you're going to do it anyways? Yes. You know it's going to harm you? Yes, but you're going to do it anyways? Yes. I don't care. I don't give a... Right? Like, this is the fool. This is what they say. This is your second marriage. And you remember what happened last marriage when you did that and how that worked out? Yes. But you're going to do it that way again? Yes. Oh, my goodness. Everyone who's ever done that, they ended up, I know what they did, but I don't care. And you say, everyone who's invested in that ended up, yeah, I know, but I don't care. Everyone who did that, everyone who goes there, they end up in this, yes. But you're going to do it anyways. Yes, Solomon says, if you know the right thing to do and you don't do it, you're a fool. Some of you may be thinking, yeah, but I don't care. That didn't even offend me. That's the most relevant thing you've said all day, Pastor. In fact, my wife's not even going to bring it up. because we talk about this. She knows who I am. She knows the decision I'm going to make. We've covered this. We don't have to rehearse it again. Here's what the wisest man, here's what he says about this. As a dog returns to its vomit. Let's just sit there for a second. Just picture that. I have a dog. Like, it's very real to me these days. He's a little puppy. As a dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their folly. The last time you did that, this happened. And you're going to do it again. Yes, I'm a fool. That's what we do. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, Proverbs 10:23. But don't you know where this leads? Yes, but it's fun. Remember the last time you did this, it took you 3 weeks to recover. Yes, it's fun. The last time, it was the same thing. Like, he's cute, he has no job, he sleeps on his mother's couch. Like, you know where this headed. It's the same guy, different name, and you're going to do it all over again. Yes, it's fun. It's pleasurable. I want to do it. And you're like, no, it's not fun. It's vomit. No, it's fun, you say. We can all see this in other people, can't we? You're thinking of someone. But before we pass this message along to someone else, let's think about it for a second for ourselves. If you have an area in your life where you know the wise thing to do, but you don't do it, Solomon would say you're a fool. Because that's what a fool does. A fool knows the difference, but they don't care. They even know the consequences, but they don't care. You know the right thing to eat, but you choose something else. You know you should get more sleep, but you choose something else. You know you should go to church, but sometimes you choose something else. You know the right thing, but you don't care. You don't do it. You know every time she says that and it fires you up, you know how it's going to play out, but you don't choose the wise thing. You choose something else. Solomon says, in that area, in that space in your life, you're a fool. If you're a judge and you're judging different cases and you see someone, a repeat offender, they keep coming back over and over again, you're not the simple, you're not this one, you're this one. You're the fool. You're repeating the past. History is repeating itself over and over again. If you already have a DUI and you're still risking it, you're a fool. If you have habits that are destroying your body, you're a fool. This is offensive. Some of you are saying, I'm never coming back. I'm never coming back to this church. That pastor's so offensive. He called me names. I didn't like it. But you will come back. I promise you that. You will come back when you experience the cure for being a fool. Because there's a cure for it. There's cures for each of these, and they're a little different. The cure for the simple is time. You're not wrong. You're not bad. You just need time. You're clueless. You're naive. You just need time. You give a simple person time, and they kind of figure it out. They get it done. But the cure for a fool, sadly, is tragedy. Tragedy is the cure for foolishness. That's what Solomon says. That's what Solomon says we should all learn. You have to learn it the hard way when you're a fool. You know A plus B equals C, right? Yes, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyways. Information is not going to help me, you say. I'm going to do it my way. The cure is, unfortunately, tragedy. And some of you would say, I don't care. I don't give a. But here's what you should know. What, you don't have to change. In your mind, you may say, it's my body. It's my time. It's my life. But it's just not true. It's just not true. This is where your foolishness gets you blind to your selfishness. I'm going to show you a scripture, Proverbs 13:20. Walk with the wise and become wise, for the companion of fools suffers harms. The companion of, the father of, the mother of, the co-worker of, the boss of, the employee of, the boyfriend of, the girlfriend of, the spouse of suffers harm. The tragedy of being a fool isn't that you hurt yourself. It's that eventually you're going to hurt someone else. But that's not my intention. It's my life. It's my things. It's my body. I should be able to do what I want with myself. It doesn't really affect anyone else. But according to Solomon, it's the companion of fools that suffers harm. Teenagers. This is why your parents freak out about your friends. We do. We lose our minds about your friends. We pray for good friends. Because here's what we know. You can be the wisest kid in the world, but the companion of fools suffers harm. It's not you, it's your friends. I'm worried about what your friends are going to do because they're going to drag you down with them. Because if they don't care about their body, they're not caring about your body. If they don't care about their finances, they're not going to care about your finances. If they don't care about their future, they're not going to care about your future. The fool says, I know, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyways. Okay, last category. Last category. I hope you don't work for this person. I hope that you're not married to this person. I pray you're not married to this person. This one is the mocker. This one is the fool on steroids. So not only do they know and they don't care, they will make fun of you for doing the right thing. They will scoff at you. You don't really see a lot of mockers at church because you wouldn't invite them to church. Those little blue cards I gave you, you're thinking, I'm not giving this to them. Why? Because they will make fun of you if you do. They're going to say, oh, do you wear a little pin? You know, do you have to join the club? Do you wear a suit when you go to church? Do you carry a little Bible, your little Bible thumper? Is that what you do? It's so cute that you think that's making a difference. Oh, when you pray, you're not really talking to, you're wishing. You're wishing something, but it's not really doing anything, is it? They mock what you're doing. They're critical. They're critical of all kinds of things. They make fun of you. They're condescending. You're always off balance with this person. Just when you think you're good with them, you've had a good week, you've had a good day, it seems all right, they knock you off balance. You don't ever know who you're going to get with them. They come off as the smartest person in the room, but they're not. They use any little bit of knowledge that they have about a topic, and maybe a small amount, but they'll use what they know and hold it over you and try and control the conversation. They use criticism and cynicism and condescension to try and control you. If you're married to this person, I pity you. If you work for this person, I pity you. If you are this person, not only do you not care what I'm saying, you have some ideas of what you want to say to me in private when all of this is over. You're frustrated right now. And why? Because you're smarter than me. You're smarter than me. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to listen. Here's what Proverbs 9:7-8 says. Whoever corrects the mocker invites insult. Whoever rebukes the wicked incurs abuse. Do not rebuke mockers or they will hate you. You're thinking of someone right now. They don't listen really well. They don't argue very well. You can't engage them in conversation really well. They're really bad debaters. They can't handle the what-if conversations. They kind of lose their stuff. When you ever talk about something that's negative, they pounce. Remember, they control with cynicism, criticism, and condescension. They leverage any intellect they have to control the ways that they're kind of going through it, and they think that they're the smartest. You can't win with them. You can't win with them. I don't even want to show you this verse. I'm not even going to put it on the screen. It's very harsh. But Solomon says, you just need to throw them out because there's no hope for them. That's what Solomon, the wisest person, says. You can't talk them out of this. No amount of information you can give them is going to help them. Whether it's their insecurity or their past, they just have to have control. They're almost impossible to have a relationship with. And sadly, just about all of us in this room, you know somebody like that. You've wanted it to be different. You've tried everything. And every time you try, they just make it worse, don't they? They seem to just stir it up. And you think if you just try harder, if you just give them more of this, more information, more scriptures, more encouragement, that it'll fix them. But Solomon says it won't. It will not help them. So I'm gonna give you a summary of everything, and then I'm going to read you something. So on each of these, the first one is, if you correct the simple, they won't get you. If you correct the fool, they will ignore you. If you correct the mocker, they will hate you. But if you correct the wise, they will thank you. The wise, they seek understanding. They crave knowledge. They crave understanding. They see the world in this broader context. They know they don't know everything. And so they ask, what do you mean by that? What does that mean? They're not afraid of looking foolish or simple. They want to know the truth. They want to understand. They want to be better. They don't feel the need to control everything. Wise men and women don't allow these kinds of things to control the relationships. They're learners. Now, eventually, every person who sits in any one of these chairs is going to be needing wisdom. You're going to have a decision to make. You're going to have an addiction to recover from. You're going to have a tragedy that you need direction on how to move forward. You're going to have a marriage that you need to work. The problem, though, is if you sit in any one of these seats for too long, you won't be able to recognize wisdom. If you sit in any one of these too long, someone will say something that's wise, and you won't think it's true. You won't be able to see it. You will not be able to understand it. You won't be able to hear it. If you sit here too long, your situation may actually be hopeless. In human terms, aside from God intervening, in human terms, it could get hopeless if you sit there too long. At the very beginning of Proverbs, and this is so cool, Solomon uses some imagery to describe wisdom. And he describes wisdom as this woman who's walking in the streets, and she's calling out and saying, anyone who wants wisdom can have it. And so I'm going to read you the beginning of Proverbs. You can find it in Proverbs chapter 2. But what I want you to do is, I want you to imagine where you are in a specific arena of your life. Rarely is someone any one of these in every area, right? But there's an area where you might be one of these. I want you to imagine yourself in your seat. Imagine how you've interacted with wisdom in the past. And let's see what Solomon would say to us in this moment. Because here's what happens if you're in this too long. Here's what it says. Out in the open, wisdom calls aloud. She raises her voice in public square. And on the top of the wall, she cries out. At the city gate, she makes her speech. In other words, wisdom is available to everyone. Anyone can have it. How long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in their mockery? And how long will fools hate knowledge? How long are you going to sit in the chair? How long are you going to be there? Put a time on it. Put a date on it. How long are you going to be a fool about this? How many more years are you going to keep repeating the past? How long are you going to remain uneducated and unwise? How long are you going to make fun of the people who are living out the right things? How long are you going to sit there? Here's what wisdom says. Repent in my rebuke. Then I will pour out my thoughts on you. I will make known to you my teachings. But since you refuse to listen when I call and no one pays attention when I stretch out my hand, since you disregard all of my advice and do not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh when disaster strikes at you. I will mock when calamity overtakes you. When calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster sweeps over you like a whirlwind, when distress and trouble overwhelm you, then they will call out to me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me, since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. I'm going to keep reading in a second, but one of the things that I really hate when I'm a pastor is when I'm sitting down with somebody or I'm sitting down with a couple and they say something and I'm like, I wish you would come to me sooner. I wish you'd come to me sooner. Because there are certain things that just can't be undone. There's certain things you just sit in too long and you cause permanent damage. You can't reverse it. You can't get it back. It sits there. It stays there. And what you want, you cannot have. It's permanent. Those are the greatest tragedies to me. When someone waited too long, they sat in the seat too long. Since they would not accept my advice and spurned at my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. You reap what you sow. Simple, you reap what you sow. You sow unwise decisions, you're going to reap unwise decisions. If you're a fool, you're going to reap what you sow. Mockers, you think you can control outcomes, but some things, some damage you do can never be undone. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacencies of fools will destroy them. But, I love this part, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. But, no matter what you were doing before, there's something you can have that's new. You don't have to sit here anymore. You can choose. This is why I want you to ask the question, what's the wise thing to do? You owe it to yourself to know the answer to that question. What is the wise thing to do? When you ask that question, every opportunity, every invitation, every decision, you'll know what the wise thing is. And I encourage you to do it. Because if you don't, you're going to sit in one of these seats. That's your other options. And they end up in a place that you don't really want to go. But it's your choice. They're options. Wisdom is an option. Simple, fool, mocker, they're all options of how you respond to these things. So mockers, if you're a mocker, it's time for you to realize you're not the smartest person in the room. If you're foolish, you need to start caring. You need to start knowing that it makes a difference, that your life makes a difference, not just for you, but for them, for those that you love. You need to care about someone other than yourself. For the simple, you need to realize that there's nothing wrong with you. You're just starting out in these things. You're not bad. You just don't know. But you need to ask. You need to ask. You need to ask for wisdom, because you're not going to get wisdom by yourself. You're not going to get to the future that you hope for by yourself. You have to ask. I know it's against everything that culture teaches. Culture teaches you to dishonor your parents, to not listen to them, to run away from those things, to only listen to your peers. But your peers are not ahead of you. They haven't been anywhere different than you. You need to seek wisdom. So in light of my past experience, in light of my current circumstances, in light of my future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for me to do? In light of your past experience, in light of your current circumstances, in light of your future hopes and dreams, what's the wise thing for you to do? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word that sheds so much light into places that sometimes we wish we didn't know was there. Sometimes we wish we were just clueless about. But Lord, your word has highlighted some things in our life, where areas where maybe we weren't making wise decisions. But Lord, give us the courage to do that. Give us the courage to make wise decisions. Give us the courage to stop repeating the past or stop damaging our future, and to embrace everything that you are doing. You are doing great things in the earth. You're doing great things in our lives. Help us to engage with that. Help us to move forward for a better future. There are some of you who are here today, and you may say, coming to church might have been a little hard today. You might be someone who you'd say, I've been far from God. I haven't been making wise decisions. I've been sitting in one of those seats too long, and I need a way forward. I need to know the way forward. And Scripture says, Jesus said this, that he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. And if you're here today and you say, I'm far from God, Jesus is your way. 2,000 years ago, he changed the game. 2,000 years ago, he came in human form. He was God in man. He lived a sinless life. And he took on the sins of the world. He was rejected by the Father. And he died a brutal death on the cross. Why? A couple of reasons. One is to prove that God loves you irrevocably, unconditionally. He loves you. He decided to take on the sins of the world so that we could be free, because we couldn't pay the price for our sins. He set us free. And when he rose from the dead, he gave us a new life, a new hope. That we don't have to be stuck in the old ways, but that all things could be made new. And what used to be the system where you used to have to make sacrifices, you no longer have to make sacrifices. Used to, if you wanted to talk to God, you had to go through a priest. Now, because of what Jesus did, you can come straight to God. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm far from God. I've been stuck in one of those chairs. But I want to move forward with my life. I want to follow Jesus. I want to give him my life. I want every day, every breath to be about what he's doing in my life. I want to follow Jesus. If you're here today and that's you and you say, I want to follow Jesus, slip your hand up right now. I just want to know who to pray for today. I see your hands over here. I see your hands over there. I see your hand right there. I want to follow Jesus. I want to give him my life. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the 6 people today who said, I want to make that commitment. I want to follow Jesus. I want to give him my life. I pray, oh Lord, I pray that you would seep this deep into their soul. Lord, help them to know you at their very being and help them to move forward from where they've been stuck. Help them to not just make wise decisions, but in everything, in every breath, choose to follow you. With every head still bowed, every eye still closed, those 6 people said they wanted to take a step. We're going to take that step with them. We're going to say a prayer together. This prayer is not magical, but it is meaningful. If you pray this prayer and you mean it, it's the beginning of something new in your life. So all of us together, let's pray it out loud. Heavenly Father, I admit that I am a sinner, that I am lost without you. Come into my life. Forgive me my sins. Wash me clean. Help me to live for you every day for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Give God praise. Give God praise today. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. 6 people making that decision to follow Christ today. If you made that decision for the first time, if this was like, I'm coming back to God for the first time, if this was, I've never prayed that prayer, and it's a brand new beginning for you, let us know about that. If you would, just find me after service. Just say, I made a decision. Just let me know. I want to help you take next steps. I'm not going to harass you. I'm not going to bug you with stuff. But I do want to text you. I do want to send you an email with some resources that will help you begin a new journey. So make sure to tell me about that today. If everyone in the room, if you'd please stand as we get ready to close, we're going to do 2 more things. What we're going to do is we're going to sing a worship song. And if you're here today and you've got a prayer need, our prayer team is actually coming. Prayer team, if you would just come up here to the front. Here's what I know about prayer. I've prayed a lot of things by myself and saw nothing change. Have you ever experienced that? You pray and you pray and you pray and nothing shifts. But I tell you this, a lot of the prayers I pray with people, I find an answer. So that's why our prayer team's here. That's why they're coming to the front right now, is so that you can have someone to pray with you through the things. Maybe it's a financial issue. Maybe it's a health issue. Maybe it's an emotional issue. You just got a lot of stuff going on. Maybe it's a mental health issue. You've been battling depression or anxiety. You're struggling. Maybe it's a relational issue. There's something going on between you and your kid. Something going on between you and your spouse. Whatever your things are, that's why they're here. It doesn't have to be just about the message today. It could be about anything you got going on. So I want to encourage you, as we sing out in worship, if you have a prayer need of any sort, please come forward. Heavenly Father, in these last few moments, I pray, Lord, as we worship, as we sing to you, the hearts and lives would be changed forever. I pray for those who are asking in faith for prayer requests to be answered, Lord, that you would bring about change in their life, that you'd bring about a shifting in their circumstance. I pray that no one would leave here the same way they came in, but would all be changed to be more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come forward if you need prayer.